Hey, watch what I say, please. Happy Christmas.
Yes.
A lot of faces I've never seen before. My name's Paul. And happy Christmas if you're watching online. Mother and father-in-law, I have the turkeys in. Chandrine and Susan, happy Christmas to you too.
And everyone else.
Right. I'm going to compare two boys in the Bible today, one in the Old Testament and one in the New. Now, 2,000 years before the birth of Jesus, so 4,000 years ago, this is a story that happens in Genesis chapter 22. God tested Abraham and said to him, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering." So Abraham loaded his donkey, taking wood for the burnt offering and his son Isaac. And they set out for the place God had told him. On the third day, as they were reaching Mount Moriah, Isaac asked his father, "The fire and the wood are here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the offering, my son." When they reached the place God had told him, Abraham built an altar and arranged wood on it. He bound his son, Isaac, and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took a knife to slay his son. But an angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld your son from me, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there, in the thicket, he saw a ram caught by the horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. God provided the ram. Now I said to Nate, my 7-year-old son, my talk wasn't very Christmassy. And so he said, instead of Abraham finding a ram trapped in the bushes, why not make it a reindeer? Now, I'm both a son and a father. Nate, you ready to do your job?
Yeah.
Right. Anyone else here? Now, he's only got 5 chocolates, so you better be hands up quick. Yeah, no, more chocolates. Get that. The first 5 hands you see up, they get a chocolate. You ready? Anyone else here is also a son and a father. Got it? There you are. For both sides, Dave, be fair, please. No, that's it.
There you go, Darren.
Eat it.
No more?
Yes. Go on, yeah. Martin up the back. Now, when I learned this story when I was younger than Nate, I empathised with Isaac. But now I feel more for Abraham. How would Abraham have felt for those 3 days that it took to walk from their camp to Mount Moriah, carrying the weight of what God had instructed him to do? Now God would never have allowed Isaac to have been killed. It was a test of Abraham's faith, and it was a test Abraham passed with flying colours. In the New Testament, Abraham is listed as one of the Old Testament heroes of faith. So this is Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced God's promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It's through Isaac that your descendants will come." Hebrews 11 goes on to say, it's a long chapter, these Old Testament heroes were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us. God had planned something better. So what was it that God had planned that was better? Well, 2,000 years after Abraham and Isaac walked up Mount Moriah, Luke 1 says, an angel appeared to Mary and said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Matthew 1 says, an angel also appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins. Names can be important. Now, I reckon that someone's going to know the answer to this, and I'm looking at mine. Now, there's no pressure here, right? No pressure. I think we'll know this one. And if you don't, I'm sorry for embarrassing. Does anyone here know what Isaac means? Mike? Yeah, he laughs. Nate? Mike gets a chocolate.
That's one.
It's Christmas.
My mom's
getting me two. Oh, that's it. Well done for not blinding, Mike. So Isaac means he laughs, because Abraham laughed when God told him that his aged wife would have a son. My name means something. Do you know what Paul means? Don't get chocolate, please. How many chocolates have you got left, though?
Enough.
Yeah, go on then. Do you know what Paul means? No, that's Peter. Do you know what Paul means?
Small.
Yeah, he said small. Yeah, go on then. Yep, little. Catherine gets one. Paul means little. My surname means good. Little good. That's really nice. Nathan is my boy's name, and I found out yesterday that I met a woman in Barney Cut. She said her son's name is Jonathan, and it means the same. And then I realised what she said, because Nathan and Jonathan are basically the same name. Anyone knows what Nathan or Jonathan means? Meg, do you know what your son's name means? No? Is it? Anyone? 3, 2, 1, sold. It means gift of God. My wife's name is Jenny. Now, I have always thought that Jenny was a female donkey. But I found out last week, so basically that was going to be my big joke. But it doesn't. Do you know that Jenny comes from Cornish Guinevere? King Arthur's wife. Do you know what it means?
Yeah.
Fair one.
Nice, isn't it?
Isn't that appropriate? What's that? You think she looks more like a donkey? How dare you! Names are important. Jesus means God saves. Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh in the Old Testament, name of God. Isaac had a purpose. It was to father Jacob and Esau, and thereby be granddaddy to the 12 tribes of Israel. Isaac is called one of the patriarchs of the Old Testament, the founding fathers of the Israelite nation. Isaac's purpose was not to be sacrificed on Mount Moriah. The Nativity in the Gospels announces the birth of a child who was also born with a purpose. So when it says in Hebrews that God had planned something better, it means Jesus. We see a baby whose name defined his purpose. And we can see Jesus' purpose in the gifts given to Mary and Joseph by the Magi. And I'm not a fan of this carol, but these words do sum it up nicely. And we three kings, born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. Gold for a king. I know some of you hate the carols, don't you? You're not a fan. This, the next verse. Frankincense to offer have I. What can you rhyme with that? Incense owns a deity nigh. What? Does anyone know what that means? Incense, I know. We sing it every year. It's rubbish, isn't it? But incense for a priest, and myrrh is mine, it's bitter perfume. Breathes a life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in a stone-cold tomb. Myrrh was an embalming fluid, used in burials for someone born to die. Myrrh. What would Mary's reaction have been given, to being given an embalming fluid as a gift for a baby? Have we got anyone here who's given birth this year? Would you like a sweet? Anyone who's had a sweet? Oh, Nate, off you go. Come on, who gets a sweet, Nate? Amy gets a sweet. Don't give it to Maver. But yet she was given embalming fluid as a gift. But these gifts state right at the start of Jesus' life what his purpose would be. A king who would be a priest. That is the go-between. Someone who can bring reconciliation and intercede between God and man. And someone born to die. This is probably the fifth or sixth sermon on Christmas Day, and every single time I always say the same thing, which is every Christmas sermon should end at Easter. And, well, don't be fine.
5 months long.
But that's the point. We actually look at this, and we don't look at the start of Jesus' life, which is great, but we look at what happens next. Because whilst the conclusion, whilst the Christmas story of the baby Jesus is lovely, we don't see the conclusion of Jesus' purpose until he's in his 30s. Because we know how Jesus' story ends. Well, I mean, not actually ends. But 30 years after being given gifts of gold, incense and myrrh, Jesus walked up a hill to be crucified and die. As Isaac carried the wood up one mount, Jesus carried a wooden cross up another. Now, you've got one chocolate left for you. Stand here.
Three more.
Go on, stand here.
This including...
Okay.
And this and two more.
I'll tell you what. This next one can get two. You've got to be quick, because there's only one answer. Ready? What was the name of the mount that Abraham and Isaac walked up?
Sinai.
No. And look, there's two chocolates, they said it at the same time. Well done, son. Mount Moriah.
Who gets the other
chocolate? You get it done. Right, so they walked up Mount Moriah. And we know where Mount Moriah was. At the time when they walked up Mount Moriah, there was nothing there. But we actually know what was built there. Because 2 Chronicles chapter 3 says that Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah. That's where the temple was built. So Mount Moriah was in where Jerusalem would one day be built. So on a hill near the one where God provided a ram for Abraham, God provided something better for us. Because as God provided that sacrifice for Abraham, that ram trapped in the bushes, he also planned the means of saving mankind through the death of his son. As Abraham said to Isaac, God himself will provide the lamb for the sacrifice. I talk about sacrifice. Now that is miserable, when it's Christmas Day, as someone mentioned to me when I was planning it. Isn't that a tad miserable for Christmas? The angel said to the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. So where is the joy in this talk? Well, Hebrews 11 goes on to say, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Even though God had said to him, it's through Isaac your descendants will come. Abraham reasoned that God could raise him from the dead. Because Abraham was right. God can raise from the dead. Because 40 hours after Jesus died on a cross near Moriah, Luke 24 says, on the first day of the week, early in the morning, women took spices they prepared. They took myrrh and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Here's the joy. In Jesus, God brings his own promised son into death and through it, out the other side to his resurrection. Just like God spared Isaac on Mount Moriah, God spares humanity because he takes the cross, the punishment that we deserve for all the muck in our lives onto himself. In a couple of minutes, we're going to sing our closing carol, and the words in it perfectly declare the purpose of the baby Jesus. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give us second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. And there lies the joy. Thank you.
Let's take a moment just to reflect on what we've heard. Just in the stillness, maybe invite God to speak to your mind, to speak to your heart.